Hello there, it's me again, and it has always been me, and it will be always me. It will always be me. I'm sorry. Okay, so actually, I listened to the episode that I did yesterday. 2 days ago, in 14th of November, and I heard something that was not supposed to be pronounced that way. Actually, I could look up to the on the internet, but I just didn't. Probably it was because it was too late at night, so I was in a rush to to end the episode and something, I don't know. Yeah, actually, I'm really sorry if I did mispronounce something, but today I tried my best. So let's get started. Oh yeah, by the way, just like yesterday and 2 days ago and just like usual, I'm going to share some of the vocabularies that I get from the book that I've been reading right now. And it is just like the book that I told you in the previous episode, which was Great Poems, which has been printed by Miles Kelly. Okay, so for today's session, I'm going to read from page 22 up to 31. All right, just like yesterday, I'm sorry, just like 2 days ago, just like the previous episode, I'm going to read the poems first, and then it will be followed by the vocabularies that I compiled right here on my notes. But I'm not going to read poem and then a poem and then the vocabularies that I get. It will not work that way, because some poems I found it really easy to understand. I mean, I didn't find any new vocabularies for me, so it will work this way. I will read all of the poems here from page 22 up to 31, and then I will share the vocabularies, the new vocabularies, on my vocabulary journal. Okay, all right, so let's get started. The first poem is titled A Red, Red Rose. A red, red rose. My love is like a red, red rose that's newly sprung in June. My love is like the melody that's sweetly played in tune. As fair art thou, my bonny lass, so deep in love am I, and I will love thee still, my dear, till the sea gang dry. Till at the seas gang dry, my dear, and the rocks melt with the sun, and I will love thee still, my dear, while the sands of life shall run. And fare thee well, my only love, and fare thee well a while, and I will come again, my love, though it were 10,000 mile. Robert Burns, Scotland. Okay, that's the poem. And here is a little note from the publisher about the writer, and probably about the poem. Okay, let's just read it. Robert Burns' poems, chiefly in the Scottish dialect, 1786, made him an overnight success, acclaimed by Edinburgh literary circles. A Red, Red Rose was one of 200 Scottish songs he wrote and collected for the Scots Musical Museum. Still revered as Scotland's finest poet, Burns birthday, 25th of January, is honored by Scots in a celebration often marked by bagpipes, haggis, and poetry known as Burns Night. That's quite nice. Okay, let's move on to the second poem. Annie Laurie. Max Wilton's hills are bonny, where early falls the dew, and 'twas there that Annie Laurie gave me her promise true. Gave me her promise true, which never forgot shall be, and for bonny Annie Laurie I'd lay me down and die. Her brow is like the snowdrift, her throat is like the swan, her face, it is the fairest that ever the sun shone on, and dark blue are her eyes, and for bonny Annie Laurie I'd lay me down and die. Like dew on the daisies lying is the fall of her fairy feet, and like winds in summer sighing, her voice is low and sweet. Her voice is low and sweet, and she's all the world to me, and for bonny Annie Laurie, I'd lay me down and die. William Douglas, Scotland. Right, William Douglas wrote the love poem Annie Laurie around 1700. He composed the verses having fallen in love with a celebrated beauty called Anne Laurie. They didn't marry, but the verses endured, and an accompanying tune was written later by Lady John Scott and published in 1835, making it a great favorite. Right, let's move to the next one. Sonnets from the Portuguese 43. How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. I love thee to the depth and breadth and height my soul can reach when feeling out of sight. For the ends of being and ideal grace, I love thee to the level of everyday's most quiet need by sun and candlelight. I love thee freely as men strive for right. I love thee purely as they turn from praise. I love thee with a passion put to use in my old griefs and with my childhood's faith. I love thee with a love I seemed to lose with my lost saints. I love thee with the breath, smiles, tears of all my life. And if God choose, I shall but love thee better after death. Elizabeth Barrett Browning, England. Elizabeth Barrett picked up what education she could from her brother's tutor and became an accomplished scholar. She spent much of her life as an invalid writing poetry for amusement. Poems 1844 were so successful that many suggested she should follow William Wordsworth as poet laureate. Forbidden by her father to marry, in 1845, Elizabeth secretly corresponded with fellow poet Robert Browning and eloped with him to Italy in 1846, where she lived happily until her death 15 years later. My God, what a life she had. Right? Let's come to the fourth poem. though this one's quite a short one. His Mother's Wedding Ring by George Crabbe. The ring so worn as you behold, so thin, so pale, is yet of gold. The passion such it was to prove, worn with life's cares, love yet was love. George Crabbe, England. Born in Suffolk, Crabbe was apprenticed to a doctor in his early years but was determined to be a writer and left for London. In 1781, he took holy orders and became a curate, returning to live in Aldborough on the Suffolk coast. His narrative style of poetry was much admired by Lord Byron, who called him nature's sternest painter, yet the best. He also became a friend of the novelist. He also became friend. He also became a friend of the novelist Sir Walter Scott, and was Jane Austen's favorite poet. Oh, what a life. Okay, let's move. Jenny Kissed Me by Leigh Hunt. Jenny kissed me. Jenny kissed me when we met, jumping from the chair she sat in. Time, you thief, who love to get sweet into your list, put that in. Say I'm weary, say I'm sad. Say that health and wealth have missed me. Say I'm growing old, bedad. Jenny kissed me. Leigh Hunt, England. Okay, it is said that the Jenny in question was Jane Carlyle, the wife of the English essayist Thomas Carlyle Hunt. Thomas Carlyle. Okay, so the Jenny here is said to be Jane Carlyle, who was the wife of Thomas Carlyle. Okay, that's quite a weird one. Okay, Hunt, the poet, had just recovered from a bout of influenza and went to tell the Carlyles the news. Jane, in an uncharacteristic move, jumped up from her chair and kissed him. Quite a romantic one, but I didn't really know whether in that time it is usual or not to kiss somebody who's not your husband or wife. But yeah, I haven't researched about it just yet, so let's just believe that it's usual. Oh, by the way, if it is usual, Leigh Hunt wouldn't write about that experience, right? Jenny kissed me. Like, it wouldn't be a poet. It wouldn't be a poem if it's usual. So it's not usual. So maybe I would like to know when this poem has been written. Oh, it says like 1784. Oh, no. It's the life of Leigh Hunt, not when the poem was written. I want to know whether it is written after... published. If it is written, I know that it has been written just right after Jenny kissed him. But it will be different about the publishing date. Like, it would be weird, right? If it was published before Thomas Carlyle died, right? Okay, it doesn't matter to me. Now, let's move on to the next poem. Cecilia by Ben Jonson. Cecilia, drink to me only with thine eyes, and I will pledge with mine, or leave a kiss but in the cup, and I'll not look for wine. The thirst that from the soul doth rise doth ask a drink divine, but might I of Jove's nectar sup, I wouldn't change for thine. I send thee late a rosy wreath, not so much honouring thee, as giving it a hope that there it couldn't withered be, but though thereon didst only breathe, and sent it back to me, since when it grows and smells, I swear, not of itself but thee. Ben Jonson, England. Alright. Ben Jonson was one of a group writers, including Shakespeare, John Donne, Beaumont, and Fletcher, who used to gather at the Mermaid Tavern in Cheapside, London. Jonson was a very volatile man, and this was reflected in his life and his plays and poetry. He spent time in prison for involvement in a satire in 1597 and was tried at the Old Bailey for murder, having killed a fellow actor in a duel. My God. He influenced nearly all the writers of the 17th century and made a lasting impression on English drama. Okay, that's quite a clear one. I've heard this to Celia a few times before. I think it was in one of my classes during the university years, but I forgot in which semester, in what year I studied it. Okay, I think that is all for the poems. I think there are 6 of them, right? Yeah. So now, let's just move to the vocabularies that I've written in my notes. Alright then, here I have a few vocabularies that I have written on my notes. I think there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 11 of them. And the first one is acclaim. Acclaim. It means to give public approval or praise. Of course, it is a verb. If something or a piece of art is acclaimed, is stated to be acclaimed, it means it has been publicly approved and praised, okay, by whoever, by someone important, I think. Okay, so the next one is revere. It means, well, it's a verb. It means to very much respect and admire someone or something. The next one is strive. It means to try very hard to do something or to make something happen, especially for a long time or against difficulties. Okay. Next one is laureate. A person who has been given a very high honor because of their ability in a subject of study. Interesting. Next up, we have bout. B-O-U-T. And it means a short period of illness or involvement in an activity. A short period of illness or involvement in an activity. Okay. Here I have an example from the. Well, I've taken it from the book. He had just recovered from a bout of influenza. Okay, so the influenza that someone, I don't know, who was that? Well, I forgot. Should I check it out? No. Okay. You can listen to the previous to the previous minute, I absolutely talked about it. Someone had just recovered from a bout of influenza, and it means the influenza. Oh, I remember. It was about someone that has a relationship with Carlisle. Jenny kissed me. Yeah, Jen. I don't know. Carlisle. Leigh Hunt. The poet who wrote this was Leigh Hunt. Okay. So Leigh Hunt was cast by an illness which was influenza, and he had just recovered from bout of influenza. It means he just caught it for a short period, okay? And he brought a good news to the Carlisle's family, and then Jenny kissed him. Okay, I just remembered that. Okay, next up we have pledge. It means to make a serious or formal promise to give or do something. Next up, we have Jove. It is considered old-fashioned language, and it means, and Jove was used to can be used to express surprise or to emphasize a statement. For example, by Jove, I think he's won. By Jove, I think he's won. Oh, probably the intonation would be like that. By Jove. Ah, it's impossible to be that way, right? It should be. By Jove, I think he's won. Nice one. Okay, next up we have... Oh, we have a phrase... I have a phrase to read to you, right? It is from the book as well. But my diet of Jove's nectar sup. Okay, so the word that I highlighted here is nectar. So in ancient Greek and Roman stories, the drink of the gods. Oh, that's the meaning. Nectar in ancient Greek and Roman stories, it is the drink of the gods. Probably in today's situation, we can use nectar if something tastes excellent. Probably the tea that your wife has made for you tastes really, really good. You can say that, oh my god, this tastes like nectar. Such a nice compliment for your wife. Husbands, please do that. Okay, next up we have sup. S-U-P. Sup. It means to drink or eat. Yeah, as simple as that. I was quite surprised as well when I looked up on the dictionary. But yeah, that's what it is. Next up we have thereon. It's an adverb, and it means on the thing that has been mentioned. Okay, thereon equals on the thing that has been mentioned. Alright, next up we have volatile. It means likely to change suddenly and unexpectedly, or suddenly become violent or angry. Okay, likely to change suddenly and unexpectedly, or suddenly become violent or angry. Volatile, just like violent, I suppose. Okay, I think that is all the 11 vocabularies that I compiled in today's session. I hope we can meet again next week? No. I want it to be on a daily basis. Tomorrow we'll meet again, but I don't know if I have the time and I have the energy to do this. So, yep. I hope everything's good on your side. Oh my god, no! I'm the only one who is listening to this, who will listen to this. So, yeah. Oh yeah. I can just talk to myself, right? So, yeah, hopefully when you're listening to this episode again, you will feel better than today. That is all from today's me. Bye-bye.